Georgia, 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 Georgia.
Welcome to the Georgia High School Football Chat Podcast with Smitty and Banks. I'm Coach Travis Smith, my co-host, my boy Coach Terrence Banks. What's going on, Banks?
Man, my brother, I can't call it, man. We are getting close to September the 4th.
Very close, man. Very close to the date that's been pushed back, been postponed. Everybody's waiting on it. You know, everybody's on pins and needles, wondering if they're going to push it back again or if your district is even going to let you play. You know, we got a bunch of a lot of districts who pushed their districts back even further. But, yeah, you're right, man. September 4th, right around the corner, man, right around the corner.
Yes, sir. It will be here for you. Know it. God, I'm going to say it's coaches, man. Yes, we all trying to win, no doubt. That's why you play the game to win. But so much more important, dog.
Yes.
If you get a game, it's important. You know what I'm saying? For these kids. And I know we talked about this off the air, and I know we got to get to the poll. But one thing that you said that you're trying to do at Douglas County that I think more people need to listen to is you said you actively thinking about making the first home game senior night.
Yeah, and, correct.
More programs should do that, in my opinion.
Yeah, we're planning to do the same thing with softball and volleyball, you know, planning to move the senior night game up. You know, just we don't know what the future holds, so just in case, you know, we want to make sure they get to have that experience, if nothing else, you know. So like you said, it's all about the kids, man. We want to make sure they have a safe environment and then that they get every opportunity to have those moments, you know, that we all love and cherish so much, you know. So a lot going on, man, a lot going on, but we got a great show for the people today. Great guest, good friend of ours, very good friend of ours. But before we bring him out, I want you let's talk a little bit about the poll from last week. Real simple poll question from last week, might have ruffled some feathers, but real simple poll question. We asked coaches if they approved of the exposure camps that were being held so close to the start of the season. No rival of MVP had one. Yeah, then Infinity had one. I know there's a few other ones going on, but we just wanted to get some feedback, see how coaches felt about kids participating in these camps so close to the season. So, Coach Banks, what say the people, man? What kind of feedback we get?
Well, I'm going to tell you what the people say, then I'm going to get some commentary, and it's going to start this thing off.
All right.
72% of y'all said y'all was mad because they had this camp during the pandemic. And let me go ahead and say it. Y'all wrong as hell. I'm glad they had them camps. I'm going to go ahead and say it. I'm glad. Look, let me tell y'all something, man. Look, we want to play football. We want to be with our teams. These kids don't know how many games they're going to got, how many games they're going to have. Yes, the team is important. But let these kids go out there, man, and get an opportunity to do anything that may be helpful for their post-secondary career if they want that opportunity. Mm-hmm. Now, let me go ahead and say this before I get into it. I ain't mad at no school that quarantined their kids for 14 days after. Every event has a response that determines your outcome. Mm-hmm. And we didn't heard that before. We can get to that later. But they, all of them, right? So if your response to them going to the camp was, hey, 14-day quarantine, cool. Because I get it. You didn't know who was at the camp. Let them kids go, in my opinion. I don't even know if I would have did 14 days. Let them kids go.
Yeah.
Because, and I get people saying, well, we got to play the season. If we don't have a season, then what? You right. If we don't have a season, then what? But here is what's scaring me, brother. When you look at so many of these schools, man, going face-to-face, looking at so many of these people getting quarantined, I talked to a friend at a school in the greater Metro Atlanta area who is in person, and they got 11 kids in quarantine. 6 of them are starters. None of the kids they had a positive test this summer. Okay, none of these current 11 have tested positive. They are quarantined because somebody in their class got it, and they were considered exposure. Right, season started in a couple of weeks. Kids may miss some film anyway. Right. Because the fact of the matter is this, you got to be out 10 days on quarantine. You're supposed to reacclimate. Let me say this again. You're supposed to reacclimate it. Let me say it one more time. He's supposed to reacclimate. I'm just saying that because, look, let me call a spade. I know what y'all ain't going to do. Y'all ain't got to tell me, and I ain't going to put nobody on Front Street. I've been a head coach before, so I know how the streets move. That being said, so if kids missing games, you got the same issue. You understand what I'm saying? You got the same issue, man. And I know as a coach, you like, with a team, the team, the team. And there is no doubt that the team is important. I'm definitely a team player. But at some point, man, we owe it to these kids to let them do whatever they feel they need to do to help their career. And I like it to in this aspect. More than ever, some coaches, two aspects. And I know I'm rambling, but you knew I was going to go on this vent. So Two aspects. One, some of y'all coaches don't even try to help y'all kids be in college. Next conversation. That's a whole nother show. But number two, those of you who do it and do mind to do it, let me tell y'all something. If you want to help yourself alleviate pain, let parents play an active participatory role in the way of getting their babies in the school.
Mm-hmm.
Let the parents take the kids to these camps that they signed up for, the MVP, the Infinite. Let them spend their money. Let them go talk to the other guy. When he went to the scouts, you said our baby was a 5-0. He go to camp and run a 5-0? They'll leave you alone. I'm a big believer, man. And you don't believe me? Go see, they tell you. And yes, time to time, the other coach going to tell them he the truth because they paying money. But let them parents play an active role. So they can't say that, well, coach told me don't do X, Y, and Z. Then my baby ain't got no scholarship. They went to MVP and Infinity and then didn't get no love, then maybe it ain't the coach. What you got on it, brother?
I'm scared to talk, man. You done put everybody in their place, man. I'm gonna play devil's advocate a little bit, man. I understand where you're coming from, you know, because of the opportunity that it presents, because opportunities may be limited. So you're preaching, you know, take advantage of that opportunity. But then I also understand the concerns that coaches have about, you know, kids being exposed to a lot of people. Because when you look at the pictures and stuff like that of all the kids, there's no social distancing going on. Everybody's right on top of each other, you know. And these are the pictures that are being posted on social media. So I can understand, you know, a coach's concern with their kids being in those environments. I do think it is responsible to quarantine those kids, if they do participate in those camps. I do think that is responsible that you quarantine them because they've been exposed to a high number of kids. And although you don't know who the rest of your kids have been around, you know they weren't necessarily in that type of environment. So I get that aspect. I get where you coming from, you know, with taking advantage of the opportunity. But then I also understand why coaches could have some form of frustration, you know. But, you know, I just pray that the frustration is genuine, you know, that they really care about the well-being of the kids as opposed to just wanting them to not do it because they think it get them closer to playing football, if that makes sense. You know,
it do. And let me say this. Boy, you might as well, when you put this, so hopefully by the time y'all reading this on Friday when the podcast drop, he ought to put in the show, in the tweet that Banks started to show off explosives. So let me say this, two things too. So really three. I'm sorry, I got three. Number one, right. I know some of y'all listening gonna mumble this to yourself. Oh, can y'all watch it as a friend of their show? And look, we'll talk about Kenyatta too. Me and Kenyatta disagree all the time, so it's okay. Mm-hmm. Just like Rusty Manziel, I'm cool with Rusty and Chad Simmons. They put in the MVP count. All three of them put in the count. They did what they did. My thing to you guys will be this, and I know you're going to say it's a pandemic. Their camps were roughly a month away from the first game. Normally, their camps are roughly a month away from the first game. I get it. You're going to say a pandemic. Yes, I get it. Some of y'all are going to say, well, man, they got 2023. 2024 kids out there, 2025 kids out there. Them kids don't need to be out there. I hear you. That sounds good. All of y'all know how this crap works nowadays. Them kids there getting offers early and early and earlier. And that may be true that you can't rush it. I agree with you. But that ain't what these parents saying. You understand what I'm saying? That ain't what these parents are saying. They seeing Johnny over there got them offers, and they wanna know why not they baby too. And finally, since I'm being explosive, some of y'all was complaining about the MVP camp pictures. Some of y'all was complaining about the Infinity Camp pictures. I didn't see some of y'all after practice pictures.
Oh,
team 100 and over.
Whoa.
And y'all ain't social distancing. Whoa. And y'all ain't got no mask on either. So go ahead, dog.
Oh, he came with the thunder. Ah, man. Oh, we about to lose some followers and some listeners. Man,
you can DM me or you can at me T-Banks 19.
Oh, man.
I said before the show. Never heard it before.
You bringing the fire. Oh, man.
You can at me now. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm trying to stay off of the Twitter because y'all on the Twitter, so I'm going to say less. And I may or may not respond, but you can definitely at me. I mean, I ain't no problem.
Well, I guarantee that there are several other coaches that feel just like you, man. So you went on your rant, and you know this is our show. You get to do that, man. So you gonna get the side eye from a few coaches, but then you're gonna get the preach on Banks from a few as well, you know. So we got a wide range of our audience, you know. So
you can also DM us at Georgia High School Football Chat if you think what I said.
There you go.
And you would like to come on the show. We'll gladly have you on the show. I mean,
there you go.
You know, hey, I'm wait. We spending our time, ain't no money involved in this to put on this podcast because we like doing this. But if you want to come get your thoughts and opinions, we'll bring you on here for free and let you tell the world your side of the story.
There it is. You heard it, DM Banks. Or you can DM the podcast at Georgia High School Football Chat. All right. Well, so since Banks done jumped it off, we might as well keep it jumping then, man. We got a great guest. Like I said at the beginning, very good friend of ours. So without further ado, man, let's bring him out.
Let's go.
Bring him out.
Hey.
Bring him out.
Coaches, thank you for your input in last week's poll. Please continue to share your thoughts and opinions each and every Friday. Today, got a very, very special show planned for you guys. It's kind of a family reunion for us more than an interview. I guess they very, very good friend of ours and my college teammate, my big brother at Presbyterian College. Also coach with our very own Coach Banks while at Duluth High School. Podcast listeners, join me in welcoming the pride of Louisville, Georgia, and the head coach of the Miller Grove Wolverines, Coach Lee Hannah, to the show. What's up, Hannah?
What's going on, man? Just glad to be in the midst of you guys, man. Two legends, man.
Man, oh, man, whatever, dog. We trying to keep up with you, man. Appreciate you for taking some time out, man. Me and Banks know you like the back of our hands, man. But won't you help our listeners out a little bit, man? Tell us a little bit about yourself, your coaching journey, some of the stops you made on your way.
Oh, man, it's been a 20-year whirlwind, man. I mean, coming out of Louisville High School, you know, I played for Coach Frank Gordy, who's been an instrumental part of my life. You know, he's followed me every stop that I've been to in coaching and so forth. Went to Presbyterian College, played for Daryl Dickey, D.C. Tommy Spangler, who was very instrumental in my life as well. After college, I started my coaching career at Sandy Creek High School, where I was fortunate enough to coach, you know, be on the field with better yet Calvin Johnson, Kedrick Golson for 5 years. Left there, went to Mary Persons for 3 years where I was the DC, head boys and girls track. Left there, got tired of the drive coming from Riverdale, man. So I linked up with Corey Jarvis, a.k.a. Brutus, the Buckeye, man, for 2 years at ML King. Fortunate enough to coach Kevin Byard over there, Mac Brown. Left there, went to Duluth High School, where we were 4-6 for 3 straight years. The previous 4 years before that, they were 4-36. So it was a major accomplishment. Probably the best staff that I've been on by far. I think you had 3 head coaches on that staff, 4 OCs or coordinators, better yet. One being Terrence Banks, you know, a legend in his own right. Like you say, it was just a great situation there, although the wins didn't show it. We left there and went to Mays, where I was a defensive coordinator, putting them back in the playoffs, better yet. And after that, I went to Grady as an interim head coach for roughly 2 months before landing my first head job at Baldwin High School. There, I was there for 3 years. Got 18 kids in school in a 3-year span. That's the most in a 3-year span that I'm proud. I'm extremely proud of, and I can hang my hat on. Just felt I needed to get back to the Atlanta area. Got engaged, married, and so forth. I landed at Flowery Branch on the Ben Hall. I was there for a year. Great situation, but I just felt that I wanted to sit in that seat again as a head coach. And ended up in Miller Grove here. I'm entering my third year here at Miller Grove. Good situation, one to build on, but again, gotta buy in. Gotta have the buy-in wherever you go. We've had 17 kids sign in 2 years, and I'll speak about that later, but that's the third most in the county in the 2-year span. You know, so that's something to hang my hat on, and I've been proud of, and so forth. Just ensuring that grades matter. Like you said, just got to keep building on what we've done from day one, and ensuring that grades matter, and holding kids accountable, and just changing the program in a different mindset.
Well, Coach, you've been, you know, at some great places. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. You definitely paid your dues. And I think it could be a little misleading to some people on the outside looking in, you know, when you look at the success you've been able to have. And just you had a very good year going back to your college day. You had a very good career at Presbyterian. A lot of coaches may look at you and think that it just came easy. You know, a lot of coaches believe that just because you played college ball at a high level, it automatically transfers to the coaching profession, and especially high school coaching. Can you talk a little bit early in your career, what was that transition like for you going from playing to coaching, and what were some of the lessons that you had to learn about being able to coach the game as opposed to playing it?
Man, it's all about the grind. My mom always told me, if you want anything in life, you got to work for it. Everything mm-hmm. you want deserves a little hard work. And I just felt that I wanted to be the best. You know what I mean? Even as a DC, I wanted to be the best defensive coordinator around. You know, and it wasn't a hard transition going from a player to a coach. I think the difference is, how do you communicate? It's easy when you're a player. I mean, that's what you do every day, you know. But being a coach, you got to be able to communicate with kids and teach them the how to play the game, you know. And that's a big thing, you know. And just learning the ins and outs about an offense, a defense, special teams, a whole nine, how to coordinate that and put it into play. So, again, it came easy for me. But it was that drive, that motivation to be successful and to be that special coach, you know.
And I think that's a large part in who you are, brother. You talk about that drive, and you do work your behind off, you know, having a chance to spend time with you and see your grind and compete and argue and yell and hoop and holler and all that stuff back and forth them days at Duluth. And you got to say it like that, Travis. Anybody who coached that know that you got to say Duluth. You got to say it just like that. And, you know, as you already mentioned, man, the great staff that we were a part on, man. You mean, like you see, you realize that your time at Duluth, man, Corey Jarvis produced 4 other head coaches from his staff. Me, Jason Connor, yourself. Who I'm missing, man? Who I'm missing? I'm missing somebody.
He's the fourth. He's the fourth, but you had tons of OCs. And I think the key to that staff, Banks, was everybody wanted to be held accountable. And they held themselves.
Right.
You know, they didn't want to let him down. But at the same time, mm-hmm. everybody had something to prove.
Yeah, man. Corey Jarvis worked you like a Hebrew slave, too. So if anybody want to become a good head coach, go work for Corey Jarvis. He worked you like a Hebrew slave. My first question to you is this, brother. Mm-hmm. People talk about the wins all the time, but you, when me and Travis talk about transformational coaches, what you have done, the situation that you took over at Miller Grove and what you made it, the number of kids that you sent to college, just talk about the transformation and how you had to relift a program that had made the playoffs, but kids weren't seeing the payoff at the end.
And that's a good question, man. Better yet, a great question. Miller Grove's been known for having athletes, you know. They've been also been known for being a basketball school, quote unquote. But at the same time, I think I've changed the mindset as far as ensuring that grades mm-hmm. matter. You know, it's two people that I referenced. And I've been, you know, somewhat compared to, and I'm giving respect to, and that's Mo Starr, Mo Starr, as well as Nick Davis. They rebuild programs. They are program builders, you know, and I've been classified as that, so to speak. I'm the coach that nobody knows of rebuilding programs. I've been told that, you know, you can't do it here. Well, it all depends on what you look at. Are you looking at the grades? Or are you looking at the wins and losses? Like you said, there are programs that have won region championships, gone to the playoffs and lost, and not get kids in school. Whereas, yeah, my wins don't necessarily show it, but at the same time, when I'm third in the county, and that's roughly 19 schools, you're getting kids in school. So what do you have to ask yourself as a parent? Do I want to be a region champion and have to pay this scholarship? Or do I want to, not necessarily, focus on winning and have a free education? You know, that's the question you have to ask yourself. And at the end of the day, grades matter to me because I place it as a priority, you know. And that's what I think that I've done at Miller Grove is I changed the mindset. Well, kids actually focus on grades. We ensure that study table is done Monday through Wednesday. That's something I learned on the Rodney Walker. That's something I learned on the Corey Jarvis. Ensuring that grades matter. Because at the end of the day, you got to be somebody's father. You got to be somebody's husband. You got to be somebody's provider, you know. And ensuring that grades matter, I can provide my family with a job and take care of them. So that's what I'm trying to instill in my kids. Discipline, character, respect, accountability, ensuring that grades matter, man.
That list you just rolled off there, man, of the characteristics you're looking for, that's big. I think, you know, all of us want to win. Yeah. You know, we like Herm Rebel said, we play to win the game. You know, all of us have that desire to win. But at the end of the day, is that your foundation?
Exactly.
You know, and I think that's obvious with you, you know, that it's bigger than those wins and losses. You know, like you said, you're trying to prepare your kids to become young men because they're going to be somebody's daddy one day, somebody's husband one day. And they might not remember, you know, how many games they won their sophomore, junior, high school, but they remember those life lessons that you taught them, you know. And I think that's real big. Coach, as you mentioned, you know, when you went over your bio, you rolled off some very, very, very big name program that you had opportunity to work for, you know, being at Sandy Creek, going down to Mary Person, working with Corey Jarvis at the couple stops you were with him. Can you talk about how important it was for your coaching career to work up under some of those coaches that you had the opportunity to work for and some of the life lessons that you were able to learn from those big name coaches?
And it was great, man. It really was, man. I was fortunate enough to start on the right path, you know, in a successful program like Sandy Creek under Coach Walker, man, Rodney Walker. Like, he was like a mentor, a father, father figure to me as well. You know, even to this day, man, my mom, you know, asked about him because he meant so much to me in my first stop because he got me started in this game of coaching, you know, along with him and Tommy Spangler from Presbyterian. But the biggest thing that Coach Walker taught me besides the grind was character. That goes further than I could ever speak. I mean, he preached and harped on character, you know, and how much that meant to a program. Because if I can't trust you, I don't need you. And that's mm-hmm. big. That's big in a program and just life itself. Moving on to Corey Jarvis, my mentor, big brother, friend, whatever you want to call it, love him to death, man. I lean on him each and every day. But it's three things that I've learned from him. You know, he was detailed about everything. Dude didn't sleep. His practice schedules, his attention detail to film and so forth was just detailed to the utmost. He loved his weight room. And thirdly, more importantly, is where I get it from is he believed the academics, you know, that matter. And there was a school for everybody. It may not be the one that you want, but there's mm-hmm. a school for everybody, you know. So as long as I got you an opportunity, I did my job. And that's my duty and responsibility to you to get your opportunity, you know. So that's what I've learned from him. Probably the biggest thing, my biggest mentor and so forth. And lastly, Ben Hall, my 1 year stop at Flowery Branch. Two things I've learned from him was narrowing your focus. When you get mentally tired, you know, you want to shut down and so forth, you gotta adjust your thought process. Are you gonna wither or you gonna stand up and fight? You know, and lastly, mm-hmm. like I said, body language. That's what I learned from body language. You know, as a leader of a program, you know, being a head coach, being a quarterback, being a free safety, whatever, middle linebacker, you gotta be that leader, you know, and narrowing your focus, like I said, and body language and having that, you gotta have that where everybody wants to follow. So those are the things that I've gathered from the coaches that I've been under. And fortunate enough, I've only been under three in 20 years, you know, because everywhere they went, I was asked to go with them. So that's a good thing. Loyalty means everything in this game right here that you rarely find these days.
Might as well talk about what you learned from me, too, because though you ain't never been under me, I swear my phone got Lee Hanna every day when you be calling me. But don't pay me no attention. You know, you talk about, man, the guys that you work for. And, man, you know, again, and I'm with you, you take something from everybody. And I just can't, you know, we've had Corey on the show along and. As you said, the things that we both took from him, man, and then the things I think that, you know, you talk about and the things that the places that I know, like I said, we talk every day, you talk about the growth. And you talk about that training, you know, your offensive coordinator at the role is somebody who's been with you since the Duluth days, you know what I'm saying? He was our ninth grade head coach. And you've trained him up into an offensive coordinator all the way from your time at, you know, Duluth and then at Mays. And then you left Baldwin and you came back. And you got guys on your Baldwin staff who are now offensive coordinator at schools, Salem, et cetera. So you yourself have become that program builder, brother. My next question for you is this. Me and Travis know your stance on everything that's going on with COVID-19. I'll let you talk about it for a minute, but my real question is this. Your district has decided to push it back to October. And one thing I know about you is you big every day, you're like, man, we gonna control the controllables. I just want you to talk about, because I hear so many coaches that will ask me and Travis, well, how do we keep our kids engaged? And you know, I'll be honest with you, I'd be flabbergasted when I hear people ask that question of like, you know, so I'm saying in football the only way that you keep them engaged and you a failure in general, but that's a whole nother conversation. I just want you to talk about the things that you will be doing over the next month to keep your kids engaged so that when you guys do play ball, you're ready to hit the ground running.
We've made it a learning period. You know, it's similar to the NFL OTAs. You got a lot of time on your hands to get to know the kids, to get the, you know, to slow it down for kids so they can see and so forth. But at the same time, get to know your kids at this time. We feed our kids every day after practice. You know what I mean? We sit down and we have leadership council meetings and so forth just to see how our kids are reacting to this COVID matter, you know, and so forth, and time off, not being able to go in a classroom, face-to-face and so forth. So, you know, we're taking this time and we're trying to make the most of it. But like you said, we're getting to know our kids. At the end of the day, you know, if I say I've never got to know my kids, then I've wronged them, you know. And that's one thing I never want to feel. You know, it means more to me to say that a kid got a degree than a championship trophy any day. Because at the end of the day, that's gonna dust up. But if a kid says, I got my degree, coach, that matters to me more than anything. And that's how we can work on this. We got a month and a half now, you know. So, again, like I said, we're slowing it down. We're installing special teams one at a time, whereas we would do two a day. You know, we're having kids to, you know, understand the basics. We're Zooming and so forth. We're on the board and so forth. We're walking through and talking through. Like I said, that's something I start my practice with every day, an install. A walk and talk period. Well, my kids are talking. What we're going over today, and we build as we go. You know, like I said, it's tough times right now. It is. It's tough times right now. We can agree to disagree, and you know, you have people on both sides of the fence. You know, and I can go on, you know, in the left field about this and so forth. But guys, the ultimate matter right here is. Our kids safe, man. That's the most important thing. It is. It is. You know, I love the game. I'm just like the next coach. But is a game as important as life, quote unquote, a game? Important as life. And, you know, and I won't get into that. I guess I'm going to be safe and sane right here. But we're trying to prepare our kids the right way and do it in a safe manner. You know, like I said, it's tough. It's tough right now. I know parents can see through it and kids can definitely see through it. Is what we're trying to do right now. It's hard to tell the kids, hey, man, you know, we got practice every day, but we won't play for another month and a half. That's tough. That's tough. So you got to ensure, you got to wrap your arms around these kids and let them know that, hey, good is going to come. The greater good is going to come, you know. So I think that's a big question right there. You know, and I don't want to step on any toes right now and get started on this, you know, this COVID thing and so forth. But at the end of the day, safety matters to our kids, you know, whether here or there. Like you said, you and I don't want to get started on, but I kind of do. You know, you got to ask yourself, do you want to go to a kid's funeral? That's big, you know, that's big, man. Be safe, man. You know, so that's the only thing I can tell everyone out there.
And you hit it on the head, man. Safety is the number one priority, man. As coaches and as stewards of young people, our number one job is to make sure we provide, and as educators, is make sure we provide safe environments for our kids. You know, like you said, we can go on. Me and Banks, we've been having shows about this whole thing for 2 months now, it seemed like, you know, so we could definitely go on and on about that. But just hit on a couple things you mentioned, man. I like the fact that you're slowing it down, you know, taking this time to control what you can control, and you know, you can't control what the powers that be, you know, what decision they make, but you can control your approach to it and your response to it, you know. So I like the fact that you're slowing it down. Then I also like the fact that you're using this time to really focus on building relationships with your kids. You know, you talk about, you know, some of your mentors and some of the relationships that you built, not only as a coach, but as a player. You talk about Coach Spangler, you know, the relationship that you had with him at Presbyterian College. I really appreciate the people that we played for at Presbyterian, because it was bigger than football. You know, the relationship that you have with Coach Spangler is the same relationship I have with Harold Nichols. You know, guys that brought us in and made it more than football. And I think that this time right now is an opportunity for coaches to really show kids that I love you and it's bigger than football. You know, and it's my love for you is not determined by, you know, whether or not we get to play the game or not. You know, and I think you using this time as an opportunity to focus on those types of things speaks volume to the type of coach you are, but the type of man you are as well. Skip, I was wondering how long I was going to be able to go to interview and without calling you Skip and focusing on Coach Hannah. But Coach Hannah, I want to brag a little bit about our alma mater right now. You know, not a big fan of some of the stuff that's been going on with not having scholarships, things of that nature. But I'm proud of Presbyterian College. It made me the man I am today. So allow me to brag on it just a little bit. There are a lot of high school head coaches and assistants in the state of Georgia, and you know, and all over the South that are PC grads, not just football. You know, our rivals, Carson Newman, they've got a lot of coaches in the state. I think West Georgia is a breeding ground for high school coaches in the state. We have being PC grads, we have a great network of coaches that we can tap into, you know, coaches that we can lean on for information here or there. Can you talk about some of the benefits of having such a wide network of colleagues, you know, whether they're PC grads or just people that you've had the opportunity to work with? How important is it to be able to tap into that type of network?
Oh, man, it's been good, man. Good to have such a vast amount of credible individuals to exchange and gain knowledge from in this PC coaching fraternity. And, you know, you'll never know who you may need down the road. So it's good to network with such great individuals. You know, like you got yourself the legendary record setter at Presbyterian. You know, heck, you're AD at Douglas. You got Brad Bowman, who played wide out. He's an AD at Loganville. Eric Godfrey, who I just spoke with last week at Parkview, head coach. Brett Garvin, who's at Sandy Creek, head coach. Benji Harrison, who's a clown at Habersham Central. Webb, who's doing great things at Gainesville. Coach Rodemaker, Alan Rodemaker down in Colquitt County, who was just the head coach at Valhalla. Coach Todd Wofford, who's over at Collins Hill. Corey Dickerson, who's at Hart County. You know, those are some great individuals, for most part, that we went to school with. We grinded with. We laid it down with day in and day out. We sacrificed with, you know, and not a day goes by that I can't pick up the phone and call either one of those guys and say, I need help with this. Can you help me or whatever the case? You know what I mean? So it's great to have those individuals, you know, in your hip pocket, you know what I mean, when you need something or you need some advice or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I got a long list of people, like you said, and a lot of head coaches. West Georgia is definitely a breeding ground in state, but the number of PC guys that you guys got in that network is very vast. And, you know, I know a lot of them guys you just spoke of. So, you know, it's always refreshing to have that close fraternity of those brothers in arms who believe in the same thing that you do. My question for you, since Travis didn't let out the bag, I just go ahead and say my question for Lee, Skip, Cleophas, Bone, Hannah. You know, people don't know you got like 1,000 nicknames. We call you something different every day of the week. My question for you is this, man. You talk about being transformational. People don't know this. You know, again, because of our close relationship, I do know this. And I just want you to speak about things that coaches can do to make sure that they have a transformational relationships with their kids. Last year, my brother, you took your boys, a few of your seniors at Miller Grove. You took them to Ruby Tuesday. And you want to know something that stuck out to me, brother, that made me so proud to call you a friend? I don't know if you remember this. You were talking about the conversation. You said the kid was like, you told the kid to get a to-go cup. He was like, what you mean, coach? And he's like, get a cup. They're going to put your lemonade in the cup so we can go. And the kid was like, wow. I didn't know you could do that, coach. I can take something to drink up out of here. And I think when you talk about being a coach, that moment right there, brother, in itself epitomized transformation. Here's a kid who had his first experience being able to have a to-go cup. And it's something that all three of us on this phone take for granted. It's something that our children take for granted, right? Because all three of us go out to eat all the time at different restaurants with our children, et cetera, by ourselves. And we forever taking the to-go cup home. And we forget that everybody don't have that experience. So I just want you to talk about, just things that coaches can do to make sure that they're being transformational in their program.
Oh, man. Like you said, and I appreciate that, Banks. I didn't know that stood out, man. But that's something that I do, you know. You know, I hate I missed out on it this year due to the, you know, the circumstances and so forth. But every year we take our kids out for a team cookout, where it's just us, the kids, the cheerleaders, and we get to, the kids get to see us in a different light. We're in the pool, you know, diving board, cooking out, grilling, the whole nine. Like you said, because at the end of the day, we're still people, you know. It's not all about coaching and getting on your butt all the time. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, I'm still a human being. And that's one thing that we took pride in. Before I got to Miller Grove, I don't think there was a picture day with our kids. And when I mentioned to our cheerleader coach that I wanted to involve them as well, she looked at me like, wow, we're doing this together, because they go hand in hand. You know, that I do something with my seniors where we do our senior posters, you know. Guys, at the end of the day, we're human beings. And, for a kid to say that I love my coach, who I spend 8 to 10 hours of my day with, that matters. Why shouldn't I give him everything I got? Every year I take my kids somewhere, whether it's Ruby Tuesday, Applebee's, whatever the case, I treat them out of my own pocket to show them that I love them. They've sacrificed 4 years. Why not give back? And that's something that I do for my kids. Because like you said, at the end of the day, we're all human beings. And I got to love on my kids, man. I do, you know. And like you said, just showing that you love them and you care and so forth, that's big, guys. That's big. If you show a kid that you care and you love him, he'll run through a brick wall for you. You know, at the end of the day, that's what matters. They won't remember, hey, who even remembers who won the Super Bowl 3 years from now? You know, but I remember who got that degree, and I remember my high school coach. So that's big to me, you know.
Yeah, I mean, ain't nothing else to say. I'm gonna bring it back, man. Before I'm gonna bring it back to this. I'm gonna let you do this too because I think this is important. Your resume, man. You the coached everywhere: APS, Gwinnett, DeKalb, Baldwin, Flowery Branch. That's Hall. But let's speak on this, man. Really, like you're a head coach in DeKalb, and you was in APS in the interim enough, and you coached in Gwinnett. Too many people think, and you know, I love Gwinnett County. Both of us live in Gwinnett County. So too many people think that Gwinnett ball is so astronomically better than DeKalb ball. Speak on that for me. Your opinion of DeKalb and Gwinnett football, and why you don't have to, why you can make it from DeKalb anywhere.
One word, Banks: resources. When you can have 19 coaches, you can have an abundance of financial support. You know that matters. Though that matters, resources, coaches, and financial support, those are the three things. You know, but as I've always talked to you, and you told me best, chase administration, don't chase talent. So I love where I'm at. I have a phenomenal principal. I do. Do I necessarily have the resources? I don't have what Gwinnett schools have, but I'm making the most of what I have. You know, a country saying is be thankful for what you got versus what you don't have. You know, you may have, you know, another situation, you know, but the grass ain't always green on the other side, you know. So I'm thankful for what I do have. But if I had to compare, like I said, I'll go those three things: resources, financial support, and coaches. You know, those are the three biggest things. When you have that, you know, whereas you have a booster club and so forth in Gwinnett, where I'm my own booster club president, so to speak. You know, here in DeKalb, because I make it work. You know, I'm not gonna sit here and complain about what I don't have, because I got kids that are dependent on me and looking for me to help provide. So I can't sit here and worry about what I don't have and complain. You know, I gotta make it work for my kids who care and lay it on the line for me every day.
Well, Coach, we come to the end of the show, so it's time for our last question. We call it the finisher. We've got some really great answers on this question, and I'm looking forward to hearing what your answer will be, because I'm sure it'll be a great one too. What is the one thing that every coach should make sure they're doing in their program?
Oh man, that's easy, man. That's easy. And I spoke about it earlier. It's ensuring that grades matter. Because at the end of the day, we got to be able to provide for our families, man. That's more important than anything. That's why I do study table 3 days a week. It's mandatory. And it shows. When I was at Baldwin, like I said, I had 18 kids sign offers in 3 years. That's the best in a 3-year span. In the 2 years here at Miller Grove, we've been third in the county, and we got roughly 19 schools. And it's not by accident. I make it a priority, you know. So ensuring that grades matter. People are saying that these days in football is, you know, is all that we have. No, it's not. Because if that's how you feel, you haven't invested enough in this child's education, you know, because not everyone will have the opportunity to play at the next level. And you need to know how to operate in everyday life, which means you need a job. You need to survive in this lifetime. And education is extremely important, man. And I harp on that. And I go to my grave saying that. Ensuring that.
Yes, they definitely do, man. And you are definitely passionate about the whole person as opposed to just the football player when it relates to your kids. And Miller Grove is blessed to have you as their head coach. Well, that's our show for today. We want to send a big thank you to all our listeners for tuning in. Make sure you follow us on Twitter. Keep the interactions going. You can follow the podcast at Georgia High School Football Chat. That's at GAHSFB Chat. You can follow me, Coach Travis Smith, at _ Coach T Smith. Again, that's at _ Coach T Smith. Banks, how can they keep up with you, man?
Man, I ought to change it to over 3,000 downloads.
There you go.
T-Bank 1906.
Yes, sir.
We thank y'all for rocking with us. But, yeah, man, y'all know to find me at T-Banks 1906.
Coach Hannah, how can our listeners keep up with you in the Miller Grove football program?
Oh, man, I got a Twitter account at capital MG Grove, R-O-V-E _ capital L football, man, in Miller Grove football.
There we go. You got it there. Well, on behalf of our guest, Coach Lee, Skip, Odell, Cleophas, Hannah and my co-host, Coach Banks. I'm Coach Smith. This has been another exciting episode of the Georgia High School Football Chat Podcast with Smitty and Banks, where culture
is for coaches.
We on the grind in Georgia all the time. It ain't nothing on my mind but Georgia.